I was a student of ancient Near East history and the Hebrew language, and I had just completed my first 3 months of study in an intensive language course subsidized by the State of Israel for new immigrants into the country. I didn't know a lot of Hebrew at the time, but what I knew was practical, because Israel doesn't waste any time in getting its immigrants into daily life in the modern Jewish state. Of course, I wasn't an immigrant myself, but I was privileged to study with many Iranian and Soviet Jews who had made their way to the State of Israel out of conditions of great oppression. This was my day to test how much I had learned in my first 3 months, studying Hebrew for 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. I approached the enormous scroll, staring intently at the ancient letters. For a while I was bewildered, but suddenly my eyes were caught by a passage I knew all too well. Plain as day, the words from the scroll lifted themselves from the leather and penetrated my heart and soul. Kol korei b'midbar panu derech Adonai v'yashru ba'araba mesila le'eloheinu.
A voice is calling.
In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the dry place a pathway for our God.
I was reading the Dead Sea Scrolls in a language that was spoken and written long before my native English even existed. The feeling was like none other that I have ever had. I was instantly in touch with the mysteries of the distant past. The year was 1978. I hardly realized at the time that the spark ignited in me that day would grow to consume me and to become the driving passion in my life, researching the Dead Sea Scrolls. Since then, I've discovered that a good many modern Israelis have similar, almost mystical experiences when encountering the Dead Sea Scrolls for the first time. I've heard of Israeli adults standing next to their little Israeli children who are just learning to read as they now sound out in Hebrew the words of the prophets of old. The sense of continuity is beyond expression, a brand new generation connected across the centuries of oppression and suffering and Holocaust with the Jews of this distant epoch. And I say to myself, surely this people is eternal. But as for me, I went on to study at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, passing their highest level of Hebrew language instruction. And then I turned to pursuing a doctoral degree in Hebrew studies at the University of Texas, focusing, of course, on the Dead Sea Scrolls. Today, I continue to be in the forefront of researching the scrolls, participating in conferences on the subject and teaching university courses on the historical background of the period. Even my children are fluent in the Hebrew language and fans of scroll research.
But Dr. Hansen, all of that isn't enough. People need to know what these scrolls are all about, what's in them, and why they're so important. So much has been said and written within the last years on the subject of the Dead Sea Scrolls, yet it's clear that we have a problem. Most of the books are written in such a high and lofty manner, full of scholarly gobbledygook, that only specialists in the field can really appreciate them.
I'd have to agree. In fact, it occurred to me that the lay people out there can't get a lot out of them. The only books on the scrolls which seem genuinely suited to a lay audience are the ones devoted to endless speculation about conspiracies to hide and sequester them, as well as some rather offbeat theories about Jesus and John the Baptist as members of an ancient sect that was called the Essenes. And I said to myself, why doesn't somebody present, in plain English, what the Dead Sea Scrolls mean for us today, and answer some of the simple, common-sense questions that people have about these documents, which have riveted so much of the world's attention in the last few years. Somebody needs to lay to rest the wild and irresponsible speculations, yet convey a genuine excitement and enthusiasm about this most important subject. After all, the Dead Sea Scrolls are so relevant to the background of the world's religions, and that means that these ancient documents affect the lives of all of us. So the following presentation represents an honest attempt to meet this need in a manner that you, the hearer, will understand and enjoy. I hope in the end that you'll agree with me that these ancient scrolls are treasure in earthen vessels.
Perhaps the best way to understand a collection of ancient scrolls is to consider the part of the world where they were found, the Dead Sea.
The best way to illustrate the utter barrenness of this territory is to tell a story from my own life in the land of Israel. I was working as a television operator in southern Lebanon and living in the northern Galilee when I frequently took my family to Jerusalem to enjoy a bit of civilization. We drove a company-provided Cherokee Jeep down the long and winding road from the Golan Heights, around the Sea of Galilee, and finally entered the West Bank Road to Jericho before starting the ascent up the hills to Jerusalem. While it was a time of relative political calm, we had an irrational fear of stopping anywhere on the road on the west bank of the Jordan River, or of even rolling down the window. And after several trips, our fears increased to the point of wanting to change our route, thereby adding an hour's time to the journey and taking the coastal road through Tel Aviv. Finally, after a lot of soul searching, we realized what the source of our fear was. It was not the obvious, a fear of terrorism or crime, but rather of the land itself. Somehow, in our mind, there was no breathable atmosphere in the Judean hills. The landscape was so barren that we were equating it with television pictures of the moon landings we had all seen. Like the moon, the stark, craggy hills of the land around the Dead Sea couldn't possibly support life. If we even rolled down the window, we felt like we would asphyxiate for lack of oxygen. Such was our first experience in the Holy Land.
This land really does resemble a lifeless moonscape. Very little lives here, except for a few desert shrubs, some sheep and goats, and the Bedouin who tend them. This also happens to be the lowest spot on the surface of the earth, some 1,300 feet below sea level. It's part of a great rift valley, formed by an enormous geologic fault which runs from Mount Hermon in the north to Lake Victoria in Africa. To the immediate east is the northern shore of a sea called Dead, because it is so highly concentrated with salt and minerals that no living thing may be found in it. The only life around the area of the Dead Sea is what has been brought to it, specifically by the Bedouin. These Bedouin are an ancient tribe of sheepherders who roam nomadically across some of the most inhospitable desert on earth. Never staying in one place for long, they pitch their tents in a certain area for days or even weeks, only to saddle up their camels again in search of a new oasis.